Right, next Mishnah. We're on to Mishnah Hey. Yosi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim Oimer. So he has three basic statements for us. Number one, Yei Beischa Pesuach L'Rocha. Your house should be open wide to the width. V'yu Aniyim B'nei Beischa. And your members of your household should be Aniyim. Doesn't mean children should be Aniyim, obviously. That if you have people working for you, so you should hire, instead of slaves, you should hire Aniyim, give them a mechubed way of having their own also, and you have both your service, what you need in the house, done, and also the mitzvah of the best form of supporting the Aniyim. The altar basicha in Haish. This is said even on one's wife. Certainly speaking to not your wife, someone else's wife, is not something that should be done very much. Anybody who speaks too much with a woman, he causes evil to himself. No less. Again? Okay. So the second half of the mission, which is one that they really like an explanation, we're going to leave that to come. And we're going to try to concentrate on the first half of the mission. The first half of the mission is directly relates to Purim. So, actually, the second half of the mission is also related to Purim. But we're going to be very happy to deal with the first half. What does it say, the first two pieces of the mission? He's telling us that a person's household should be open house. Simply, it means that a person should bring in company, guests. The Maral has an interesting addition. He says that it should be easy for neighbors to come in and borrow things. It should be a house that people are always walking in. There's people in and out of the house all the time. There, you are near the right baseball. So, the Rabbinian here says two problems. One was we mentioned before that if you're having workers who need help in the house, so instead of hiring or buying slaves, you should hire a Aniyim. And this way you both have your work done and you get the mitzvah of helping the Aniyim, you can also be called.
Question.
Yeah. Adopt the
slaves.
I mean,
you can bring in
the
cleaning service also, right? It's
adid
to bring in poor people
to the apartments. People that you have in your health, in your household, to help with the things of the house. So that's the first chat. And the second chat is that you have in regilim b'veisko, v'yam d'sham b'loi goi shuspom. When your Aniyim come to the house, the first part of the mission was that you should have Aniyim in. Second half is, once they're in, how should they feel in the house? They should feel right at home. And if you would take them in, you make them feel without any embarrassment. B'haros v'em polim shal simcha. This is two aspects. One, you show them a happy face. Person, very major difference. The person is getting a favor sometimes. So the person has to bring it. Everybody has a time when they need a favor for somebody. But there's a big difference, even if you receive the favor, if the person agrees to do the favor, how it's done. If it's done with a smile, so then a person feels that this is healthy and normal. And you knock on the door, and you have milk to have a cup of sugar. Okay, so it depends what happens. Yeah, sure, here's a cup of sugar. And, oh, by the way, I've got also two eggs. and he gets the two heads also, and no problem. That's, you know, so he feels this is normal, healthy, neighborly relationships, and the result will be a greatness. Neighbors will relate to each other on a warm level. But if you're not going to do it, you ask a cup of sugar. And you get this frown that says you again. So then you don't go back and ask very often. You only go back when you only stop. And this way, even when you do ask, when you do get it, there's a feeling of tension, there's a feeling that, what does he really think of me? Why do I have to lower myself to ask him? And even if he created a hatred from this type of relationship. So with a Niyim, even more. The Niyim are coming to the your household. Invite them to your Purim Seudah, to your Shabbos table. So it's a question of how it's done. Number one is the Haras Ponim Shal Simcha, the seat of the Mishus B'chol HaShalud, Kasheyit and Yishavon of Lan Shibos. You can open the house and make them feel that here's the fridge, you know, you want something, but please make them feel at home. It's understanding, yes, you make them feel a proper guest, and you make them feel open the house. So the Mishnah is telling us both that we should take an Indian, the house should be more open, and the second half is that they should be feel right at home in the house. Pretty good clarification. Thank you. 45 minutes. We're gonna do this.
Can't imagine.
Okay. So we'll do two things. First is we're going to go to the Ruach Chaim on this Mishnah. She has a pshat which for us is very good. And it's a good hagdama for certain aspects of the Purim. Pshat in the Mishnah is a good kiddush. But he translates, Yei Veischa Pesuch Nerevocha, for a prophet. You should make the house proper. That fact that your house is an open house should be approached as a profitable, not as an expenditure, but as a profit. Explains. So say so Golem Oid in Stucker. Says that Stucker Teva Stucker. This is a Teva, just like Teva, all nature. This is a Teva. It's not Nisim. It doesn't even need the higher levels of Kochapra. This is simply a Teva. So it brings from Chazal. The Teva of Stucker is that Miss Asher. As I'll say, what's the salt of money? The salt of meat is salt. If you want to keep preserved meat, say salt. What do you do if you want to keep your money? Chosef. Keep, take off. You give away money from stuff, you take off the maisa. You take off the maisa from the stuff, that's the way of becoming rich. And he brings the pasuk in Hosea. Zor lechem letztocha, kitzu lefi chesed. So here this pasuk gives us as a moshel letztocha planting. And here we have a very beautiful moshel understanding of what it is that this Mishnah is telling us. A person went for the first time out to the fields and he sees this beautiful sack of wheat, and he's sure they're going to take it, you know, sacks of wheat, and they're going to take it to the mill, they're going to grind it, they're going to make bread out of it. And instead, he sees these strange people take this wheat, and they go out to these empty fields, and they throw it on the ground. You know what they did after that? They take this plow, and they make sure that all of the seeds are coming over the ground. The good meat, it's for your mother, to make bread, that's to put food in the bread. And then, come on, and then you keep So when he asked him what to clean, he said, he explained to him that you want to stay. I'll tell you. You want to stay. I'll tell you what you do. Come back in 2 months. And then you won't have to ask any questions. So I won't have to explain. Come back in 2 months. He comes back in 2 months and he shut it off.
You know, probably, I don't know how long he takes to get it. Yes,
I do. I don't know how long it takes for you to go. And there's the fuel to So, the marshal sounds other religions. Why? Come on. And then there was a person who didn't know that if you plant it, of course. Throw it into the ground, and you plant it, and it grows. Oh, it's marshal. So what grows? You throw in one seed into the ground. It grows, I don't know how many, but maybe 10 times what you put in grows. You put in one seed, it'll grow out one seed. Put in one seed, and a whole stalk of wheat, which has, I don't know how many pieces of wheat on it, many, many times old, grows out of it. And, sure, every time that person harvests his crop, a certain percentage he takes off, doesn't send the rest to be cashed into money to put in the ground up in the wheat, gets planted back into the ground. The only difference between this and stucco is only practice. It's only practice. The pasuk is trying to hit us over the head and telling you that as the same way you take a person and you would honestly argue the case that you shouldn't throw weed into the ground. You do with the fellow. Send him back to grade school. He doesn't know. He's not sure. It's a plant. Cutting up, saw something grow. Well, this is simple. No. If you don't know that, you just learn. If you haven't made it to something's missing in the future. So, throwing away 10% of our income to this nest of ground called stucco is as natural a process as it is to plants. Exactly how the percent you plant or whatever it is. The percentage that you take out of your harvest that you leave throw back into the dirt. When a person comes and he takes out the money put stuck in the fields, he is giving them money. He's giving them money. It hurts. This is a new job. You need. He's in this place simply the ones that they use for these people. It's below normal, it's below average. So you can't deal with such people. It's stupid. You threw it in the ground and you cried over it. And the person went and threw his wheat into the ground and cried over it. It was hard for him. That's the natural process. You bring in 100. But you can't go send away 100. If you sent away all 100, you're not going to know no harvest next year. Because you don't plant, it doesn't grow by itself. So a person comes back with a paycheck, $1,000. He puts $1,000 into the bank, and he's not going to have a paycheck afterwards. Because it has to grow. Money has to grow, such things. And money grows in stock. The thing that supports and increases a person's issues is stock. So here's the simple case. The easy case is like this. A person who is giving stuff. So for him the lesson is, but to realize who's doing who to pay. Who's doing who to pay. And that's good, brings it a little bit closer back to the chapter in the Mishnah. You open wide open hands. Why wide open hands? Because he's not doing any favor. He's doing you the favor. The Gemara says, you say, Masha Osha, Yisrael Balabayas. The benefit of it, out of this deal of giving 10% to the Ani, if the Palabayas has the upper hand, he's getting it out. So a person is coming, knocking on the door, and wants to give you back your tax return. Don't wait at the door. I'll bring you the receipt. Take a clock here. Dang it. Gaining or losing? Who's it? Who in here for? It's for you. So, this is a chiddush, which is and to be put into life. That's the understanding. You have to remember, these were the Talmidim of Atik Meshi Seifer. Atik Meshi Seifer taught us to do things Lishma. And a person would understand that Lishma means it has to hurt. Lishma means sacrifice. That's how some of you misunderstand. Lishma means sacrifice. If I'm giving it away and I think that I lost out of it, that's Lishma. If I'm giving it away and I'm going to get rich out of it, you would think that that's not Lishma. But the Talmud of Israeli is going to explain, which a little bit we already learned about that Mishnah. That's not what Lishma means. Lishma means Laisa is the Lord in Emes Ba'achehu Emes. To come to the real recognition of the value of things. And to do things for the real value of our artillery motives. What is the real value of tzedakah? The fact that you become rich from it is not a schar, it's a teva. That's not schar. That's teva. When you throw the wheat back into the ground, it's schar that it grows. It's not schar. Yeah, it costs you 10% or whatever it is that you throw back into the ground. That's not schar. That's teva. So the Mishnah is teaching us that the Lishma is to recognize things for their real value. Misunderstanding the value of tzedakah and thinking that it's taxes. Taxes for it. As much as the area puts up these signs, the taxes are for you. No, we lose. No, we lose. Because even though there might be a certain percentage of it that goes for me. The chances are that a lot of it is going for things that I wouldn't agree with, I wouldn't want, I have no benefit from. I have to pay taxes, I'll pay the taxes, I won't get arrested. Don't tell me it's for me. I'll have to be happy when I pay taxes. It's not for me, it's a responsibility. Okay, I can see that it's right, the responsibility, you should pay your taxes. Fine. I don't have to be happy. I have to keep the responsibility. When we give tzedakah, the lishma tzedakah is to be happy. A person gives tzedakah and it hurts because he thinks that it's costing him. So he's just, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's planting. He's planting. When you're planting, it doesn't hurt. Besides this, he says, okay, interestingly, he says that this is, the Pasuk has two Lashonos here. It says, Zoro lechem tzedakah, kitzu lefi chesed. There are two aspects in tzedakah, and this is one thing that the nimshal is better than the mashal. When you throw your bushel of wheat back into the ground, that should regrow, so that bushel is gone. You're going to lose that. But it's worth it, because for the one bushel, you don't have 100 bushels, but it's going to grow after. In tzedakah, it's the reverse. That bushel, meaning the mice of the mitzvah of tzedakah, that gets stored in Eilam Haba. After that, you've got to get schar. And that's much bigger than what your kaitzah might say. That's the ikir, stored in Eilam Haba. Okay, you're saying, is that the ksir? You're going to have a little bit of a harvest now. You're going to get a little richer. Riches, here today, gone tomorrow. Sach kol il, that's it. But it's not necessarily of any great significance. It's only an opportunity. It's an opportunity. But the Keren Kayemus Lil Habo, that's in a good thing. That's in a very good thing. Nothing could take it away. And they pay kudri this thing. Keren Kayemus Lil Habo. So here, not only what you could say, which planting, that's even more. The nice and stucker. So here we have the two aspects. The Lishma is understanding that the mitzvah itself is the greatest value. But she heard it's Mesiris Nefesh, the mitzvah is Mesiris Nefesh. Stucker is not Mesiris Nefesh. There are times when Mesiris Nefesh is called for. But stucker is not Mesiris Nefesh. If it hurts, when you pay the check. You missed the book. You didn't understand what it is. Stuff is not painful. So that's most of it. The Maila, although general the rule is the feet are good, and that would apply here too, of course. The more that it's a person really has proper pain from something, so then that makes his maisiness better. But not a self-inflicted thing. A person who throw out a bushel of wheat into the ground because he's planting, and he goes home to the mom and cries, "I lost a bushel with you." Here's only his stupidity to blame for that pain. There's going to be a tefillah on him. Why did you inflict yourself with unnecessary pain? Hashem doesn't want people to have pain. Just like you know how to kill yourself, you know how to wound yourself. Not physically, not emotionally. You take a knife, you cut yourself. Gives the check $100. What did I do? Good, I did that, but it really hurt. But that pain is not, you're not going to scar for that. You missed that stuff. You have to understand what everything is and its real value. Stalker, the terrorist stalker, like you said to Chris and Sasha. What do you do when times are rough? Well, what are you supposed to do when a person's times are rough? So the first thing that people go is that you have a meeting, the board meeting, whether that's the board of the business, which is you yourself, or anyone else, or you and your wife at home, and you say, we have to start cutting corners. So very, unfortunately, very often, what's the first corner that we cut? So if we can cut down on taxes, that's a good idea. So we call, say, you have another loophole for me. I pay too much, I can't handle it. You gotta get me down on taxes. So the next thing is, there's another tax that we pay. It's the stuck a tax. So instead of each person that comes in, we get the same from the office, and I'll make a good investment for each person that comes in. Start frowning and not giving, or not frowning and not giving, or friendly and not giving. I'll cut down my expenditures. Then you didn't understand. So what a person has to do, matun, you talk about matun, so it's a nice thing to do. And they don't know exactly what's happening. Things aren't working right, so they call it matun. That explains everything. You have a word, and now it's all explained. The reason why the pakula is not working well, it's because there's a matu. What's a matu? I have a word to explain. Right now we're in a matu. What do you do? You have nothing of yourself. So. If a person had meat and he didn't sell it, and the meat started going, it's starting going the wrong direction. So you know what you're going to do? Now we're certainly not going to salt that. We're salt now. They look good. The meat started going. Now you have a problem. Things aren't going so good. You know why things are not going so good? So you have to energize this business. You have to, if you want to bring it out of it, you have to energize it. How do you energize it? So, he says, "Yeah, base of pasuach. The house should be open. Valiftecha yetzer. Befat beitzim halolu." He was speaking many years ago. Since those eitzim halolu were open a long time. Refat is the Ruach Chaim. He said 200 years ago. Almost. He says, "Refat the Eitzim Halolu Mekoyshi Apanosa." Yom Lechadai Lechol Aparnas Aatz Mechav and Eibos Chabadoyfer. So now, you have to support your family. You have to worry about everybody else's life. Alamet Tefaz Alachenu Chachol. She gets stuck. Mazel Imer. Tonel Revocha Sheader Ab Mazel Yevachol. That you want to have Revocha. Open your house, open your carpet, open your house, open your hand. And with that, a person will get out of the matur. Since it's in Yoni the Yemen, we'll go a few words in relationship to Purim. In relation, we have this, one of the mitzvahs of Yemen, the two mitzvahs of Yemen besides the Surah of Gil. So we have two very interesting mitzvahs. In the mitzvah of Matanah Sadiqah. So that was Yonim, the person has to get stuck all your time. He has to get stuck all your time. What is it on Purim? What happened on Purim that all of a sudden the issue is stuck? Where did stuck come from all of a sudden? So there's a lower level of understanding. So this could go maybe on both of them. And since this is a chidush, it's a special time, when we have a mitzvah of Sudan, we're supposed to be Sameah, Simchos, Sudan, Yai, Shnei Yai, in a very special form. I don't speak about the Sudan, but a person who only cares about himself, his heart is closed. If a person is broader in his heart, his heart is open, his house is open, so then there's room for simcha. So as preparation, before you go to your own suda, you have to make sure that everybody has a good suda. And this is for the has and the has-nots. You have shalom monos, and you have a talk with you. Before we sit down to our own suda, we have to make sure that all the thaisels have. There aren't people sitting in a very unhappy pool because they didn't have a tefillah. They didn't have money to make a proper suda. So yeah, that's all the game. This is a simple understanding. But before we sit down, this is the reason why there's an important meaning, the month we have it, that there we have Kuvashal Sakha, that every Friday we have money around, collect money. It's given out that for Mishkoch of the Yid in place every Shabbos. It's an idea. If a person really wants to enjoy his chum, he has to make sure that it's good. Every simple, every Suda, Shabbos, Yontif, part of Simchas Yontif, is like the Pasuk says, you take care of my, I'll take care of yours. You take care of the Ani and the same the Almanas, the Almanas will take care of Ato, Vincho, Vitcho. You take care of the Banishnos, who's the Banishnos? All the Nebis. The same the Almanas, the Ani, you take care of them, you should take care of them. So before any Simcha, Yiddish is Simcha, it used to be, I don't know, it used to be before the Pasuk, before they made the chuppah, they would have a special table for their meal. Before you can make up simcha, you have to make some mechalas. One point or the other, the first thing that you have to do is cut down a little bit on the flowers and this and that, and that money that you're cutting down, send a good check to the good stuff of the nation. Then you can give it some mechalas. A person who's close-hearted, there's no room in this heart. So this is a first level, and it's very true, a very important level. That if a person wants to be zechet to simcha, for it, it shouldn't be stam ishtalulut, shouldn't be stam which leaves a person very empty, and actually the result of emptiness is always sadness. When the wine and war is off, the party's over, we're home. If there was nothing there, it was just one day that we can be like Chassam Shalom. Then when you're finished, you have the royal angel. Nothing else. Empty, sad, depressed. It's very, very depressing to the poor and the head. Where could it be that a person went wrong? First step. You have to open the heart. And therefore, on Purim, that we get a special halacha, that's the reason why it doesn't come out of Maisa. The halacha of Tzav Yoyin goes outside of the regular stuff. Here you have to go beyond the call of regular duty. This is a special chiyuv hayoyin that a person should be Tzav Yoyin. I'd like to take a stage deeper. With this, together we'll explain something that has a problem with this Mishnah, a difficulty in this Mishnah. We said before, we said last week, that the Zugois are in groups, two. Ava and Yir. We're on the second Mishnah now, this is supposed to be a Mishnah of Yir. And the normal expectations that when we find Yir, is the expecting losses, things not to do. Chesed. Normally, and this is true, normally relates to Ava. To Ava, a person is Chesed. So, it seems to be in the wrong mission. These ideas of Chesed, these ideas of open house, open heart, and open hand, stop it, Chesed. Milas Chasodim, stop it. These are usually on the other, on the other side of the fence. Here's the first Mishnah that's coming to tell us Maisei Yir. First Mishnah, he's on the wrong side. He's telling us Maisei Chesed. The end of the Mishnah is more obvious what it has to do with Yir. But this part of the Mishnah seems to be on the wrong side of the fence. So the Maral says, we'll read his words. He's explained this concept throughout, so he's going to deal with this Mishnah here. It says as follows. V'chein ma sh'hoyu aniyim v'nei v'yischol, or sh'hiv v'yis pasuch l'vokh l'orchim, sh'hiv v'yitzim v'chein ma sh'hoyu aniyim v'nei v'yischol, the whole parts of the Mishnah. Kol zeh sh'lo yeh tzar ayin v'mun moriyah. The person should be stingy with the money. The reason why this is put in this Mishnah, because these are two sides of a coin. A person who is not giving stuff, who is stingy, means that even if he is giving stuff, but it hurts him. This is the opposite of Yir Shemai. What's the relationship? He explains. The reason is comes from a lack of Yir Shemayim. That's the reason why he's not taking care of those who are in need of him. In other words, that he's in charge of. A person who's Yir Shemayim has a chno, he has a nova. And a person who has a nova, it's not going to be a gaiva, but chach in doicha aniyim, shein lichnoi. V'chein horeach shun noide, ala hayor shamayim v'merkairas aniyim ha-nichnoi. So this is a very deep understanding, which we're going to try to explain a little bit. It has a direct relationship to Purim. There's a pasuk that says, Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. So I'll say that Masha Osa Anova, I forgot the exact Lashon, Osa Yira Teres Lamesh. What is the height of Yira is the beginnings, it's the bottom of Anova. These are two levels that relate in Yira, when you get to the heights of Yira. Just like last time when we were speaking about Ahava, we found something that wasn't directly Ahavas Hashem. We found it sidelined here a little bit. We went to Ahavas Chachol. And we explained last time, because when you're at that height, we're talking about Dveikus Mamish, who can come to Dveikus in this world? And so we have to sideline, we have to go through Dveikus to Chachol. Here too, when we're talking about the height of Yira, we're talking about something that's not going to be expressed in normal Yira form. But something that is, actually even takes on a form of chesed. But what is the issue here? What's the issue? The issue here is something that I think we spoke about in the past. What's the relationship? Where are these two things? Of course, anytime a person doesn't do a mitzvah, there's something missing in Yir Shemai. And every time a person does a mitzvah, so that's some form of a chizuk in Yir Shemai. But that doesn't seem to be the direct issue. We would think that a person had an insoyin that he should go eat in a chasna with a hefshir is gacha, not so good. And he decides not to eat there, he'll go to the chasna because he has to show his face, and he'll just drink water. That's Yir Shemai. Everybody's bringing him in, and he's holding back. 100%, it could be Mimata Heter, Marheter, he's not Marheter, and he goes home and he eats Wheaties for supper instead of all that great stuff that I said. That's Yir Shemai out here. He held himself back, Vishas Hayetza. A person who gives stuff, I usually think of it as coming from a different angle. It's not a question of Vishas Hayetza, but it's a question of outpouring of an open heart. So the Mishnah here is explaining that the Prophet doesn't stop say here give tzedakah, but it's specifically giving an emphasis on the attitude of how to give tzedakah. There should be the avocha. that you accumulate base hope. That when you're giving your aid, you should make them feel at home. That the open house, easy to come in. And the people who are collecting for the moisdars, the people collecting for me, they knock on the door. They should, whatever you gave them, but you make them feel encouraged to come back the next time. And pull their teeth out before you gave them that. Whatever you were able to give them, you made it. You gave them appreciation for what I'm doing instead of making them feel like they're the tax collectors. And you gave according to your focus, which is the difference. The attitude is the main point. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? So the Mishnah is explaining to us in morality, qualities, clarifying it for us, that the issue is one that has to do with the pinnacle of your shemayim, which gets to a new issue of love. Let's try to explain. These are very delicate issues. This Mishnah, the Chlal, especially the second half of the Mishnah, are extremely delicate issues. Trying to say it as clear as we can in the limited time, but we have to try to bend the knee a little bit to hear things that are a little bit outside of the realm of normal path. Normal path of thought we're talking about, Stoke, that's Chesed. We're talking about Ahava. We were trying to understand a behind the scenes, an underlying level, which we're saying relates to Yira. It comes from Hanava, and its main form and result is not how much he gave, but in what form he gave. What the smile was like, what the encouragement was like, what the good word was like, how the greeting at the front door. A person, especially a wealthy person, has a very big disciple. I have the opportunity to meet a relatively wealthy person today who wasn't so wealthy a few years ago. He changed. For better or worse, not important, but he changed. Why? Because if a person has money bags, so he has a feeling that he owns the world. Not only does he feel that he owns the world, but they even say it. These are the best that I mentioned. They became better people. There's high class people. Everybody speaks open. High class, middle class, low class. What's it depend on? How much money you get. New classes. In India, it depends on how closely related to a white cow. And in America, it's dependent on how close you are to a green dollar. There they bow down to cows, and here they bow down to dollars. Cows are probably better than dollars. It's a class system. Right. Oh, we're not racist. America is so free. Everybody's created equal. Yeah, you're created equal, but if I succeed in business better than you, now I'm better than you. I have more money in the bank, therefore I'm better than you. This is an extreme natural tendency, and it takes your shemayim to overcome. The only power that can straighten one person one out is your shemayim. And it's the height of your shemayim which comes in the form of another. How do these two relate? How does the height of your shemayim bring it to another? The one-liner that we had from the Maharal, in the first Mishnah about the year, so after we explain all the greatness of the kira a person can come to, the Zveikus person can come to the Bnei Shalom, especially with Avida Ba'ahava, they remind us here, so he asked the question, why Mori Shemayim, and Mori Hashem? You don't have the expression Av Shemayim, you only have the expression Yir Shemayim. This reminds us that when you're really feeling elevated, and for good reason. So a person has to remind himself, Bnei Shalom is in Shemayim, not all hearts. You're Shemayim. And it's good maybe even to picture it practically. A person should get a picture. These are the one greatest benefits to the end of the empires they built. You don't have to go up to Shemayim for that. You go up to Shemayim, you don't see anything. And you just take a plane on Sea Cloud.
You go to the top of the Empire State Building. If your glasses are not bad, you can see these. There are these things walking around there. They're a little smaller than ants. He's only on the Empire State Building. It's a shaka called the Empire State Building. And those things are there. Those are people. And the mice, those are trucks. Person gives a perspective, what does it mean? And that's only Empire State Building. You're great, you're wonderful, you are great, you are wonderful. A person's elevated, he's great. A little perspective. So all of your greatness, and everything that's true, but Yir Shamayim Aleichem. Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem. Ha'oretz Noson Lifnei Odom. That's the Nesoyim. True. The Bereishon gave over the world to man. And that's in two ways. He can either steal it, or he can make bracha. Those are two choices. A person makes a bracha. What's making a bracha? This is my apple I bought. My hard-earned money. These stories. I bought it. It was my brain's and his brain's and his sketch brain. And who made that deal? It's my money. I earned it. So now I bought it. It's mine. Bereishon even, he signed on the lease and he said that people can own things in this world. It's my apple. What do I have to give a broker for? This is a Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. Bereishon, Shemayim. Always lost the way. The world is ours, but not unconditional. We have two choices. We can live under Bereishon's world as Ganoven, or we can live as Bereishon's world as Moidi, as Mishapcha. The person gives a bracha, a haido, on everything that he earned. A haido, an appreciation. That Boruch Atah Hashem Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Otherwise, we'd have a bracha on a page. Boruch Atah Hashem Anoisim Meyiz Maskur Tishlei. We could recognize that every aspect, every single, we bring up a tomato and an apple, we make two brachas. Tomato and apple, glass of water, three brachas. Every aspect. When we get up in the morning, we make a bracha on sitting up, on standing up, on getting dressed, on having solid ground to walk on, on having light of bubbles, all of the brachas in the Birchas HaShachar. And Shulnach explains Birchas HaNevi. What are you walking around the world for? Whose world are you walking on? Put your foot down on solid ground. It's yours. It's yours. You made it. It wasn't always here. It's here for purpose. So we have two choices. We can either steal the world, or we can recognize that we're walking on the Bereishon's world. And this is the Avodas HaKodesh. Tremendous Avodah of Birchas HaShachar. That the most taken for granted things, the most taken, light and day, the solid ground to walk on, that I can sit up, that I can get up, two steps. That I can sit up, that I can stand straight, two stages. It bothers me for a long time. It's getting really a little overdone. So if I stand up, certainly I can sit up. I walk into one of these places, one of these hospitals, and you'll see it's, sitting up is one thing, and standing up is a whole different one. A lot of people are wheelchairs, can't stand. They can sit up, they can't. It's a whole, it's two different ones. Sitting up is one level of productivity, capability, and standing up is one level, it's a different one. But it's not our issue. The issue, let's get clear, is that we live in a world that was given to us on the surface that we can be balabati. That everything, it's ours, it's mine. I earned it, it's mine. But the best is fine. Or, in which case we're stealing it, then it's gezel. Of course, more than it's gezel. Or we can recognize that we're functioning in the Bereishon's world, and all that we have is Makaseh. And on each stage, day after day after day, we're giving a bracha v'hoido, a shvach on our very essence of the glory. The simplest things, the most basic elements of life, nothing is taken. This is the essence of Yir Shamayim in its highest form. The highest form of Yir Shamayim is a constant recognition
that the essence of life is not taken for granted. It's not real. Rabbeinu Shalom is supporting our life on a moment-to-moment basis. On each breath, that's when we'd have to make a bracha. We wouldn't have time to do anything else, we'd do it once in the morning. On each breath, we have to make a bracha. Because air is free, the air is not free. You don't have to pay taxes on it, but you have to make a bracha. There's nothing, our very existence. Our very existence, every little capability that we have comes from the bracha. This is the essence of Yerushalayim, is the person who lives in the Bnei Yerushalayim's world, as opposed to a person that lives in his old world. Yerushalayim is the person, is that element of standing hand in front of his maker on a daily basis, on a practical basis. You're not the balabas. You can't do it. What's the reason why Yerushalayim usually comes forth in a Lois HaSeh? Because that's the most normal form of understanding that you're not the balabas. The first form of when you're under the control of somebody else is that you can't do what you want. You have to do what he wants. And you can't do what he doesn't want. So he tells you all the notes. You can't do this, you can't do that. So it should be done this way, it shouldn't be done. But here we're at the pinnacle of Yerushalayim. That form takes a form in relationship to the Rebbeinu, in relationship to the world of another. High class. Because I'm rich and high class. Because unless I'm middle class, then me and my arfuya, the way people look at it, very often in Niyam are underfed and they're underclothes. And they look scum, the way people talk about them. Very often, a Niyam in money are also a Niyam at us. Very often, somehow, sometimes it goes together. Some people yell, go to work. That's what I used to say. Why doesn't he go to work? Doesn't he stand? He's not a bench. He's not going to work. Going around collecting money. He's missing something upstairs. Right? Some people say, oh, he's missing upstairs. It's a patrol. That's a chiyuv. This person not only is he missing money, right? He doesn't even have enough intelligence to understand the difficulty of the situation. What a chiyuv. Where does it start from? Where does the totally different attitude come from? The totally different attitude comes from the good of Yerushalayim. In normal life, in my area, this is my business, this is money, mine, I earn it. The Rebbeinu Shalom's world, and the Rebbeinu Shalom allows us to function in this world. Even a Reife, he gave good medicine. Nitin Rishus the Reife that happens. He was given permission. Otherwise, it would be a chutzah. The Rebbeinu Shalom made him sick, and you're making him well. The Rebbeinu Shalom would make him well. He would make him well. So a melech would take a person, throw him into jail. And then somebody would come along and open up the door. He would get thrown into jail. That was business of Rebbeinu coming along and making people well. The Rebbeinu Shalom made him sick, and he's making him well. The only reason why he's allowed to do that. Meaning that's part of the hug. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants that he should get the clapper over the head, he should get the makir. But he wants that there should be a derech hatov, he should get out. And sometimes it costs money, sometimes it costs pain, sometimes it costs aggravation. That's the process, that's part of the makir. But he's allowed to do it because that's part of the way the Rebbeinu Shalom set up. But if it wouldn't be for that, then he won't be able to. Anius is a galgal, a choizibohim. People like to think there's a hierarchy, there's a, what do they call that? Well, there's class systems,
class
systems, aristocrats, and this goes down through generations. History has taught us that it's not that way. History has taught us, if you go through history, you'll see it's not quite that way. Person that in one generation was the Osher, you know, if we go to their great grandchildren, it's very possible it will be. And this is part of the Midah Keneged Midah that the Rebbeinu Shalom does, is that he first does it this way, and then next generation will try to do it.
And if you threw the ani out, the busha, so your grandson will get thrown out by his grandson with the same busha. Nothing's for free. There's different changes. Everybody gets his chance. Sometimes within the same lifetime, it changes around. And sometimes you have to go through different generations. Different glue, different generations, whatever. But ani is... comes back. Comes home. The idea is that the ashiras that a person has is not like a high first class, a high class. I have more money, I have better opportunities. Right? There are advantages in having better opportunities with one condition. That you use those opportunities. Without this understanding of where we stand in the world, then all that would otherwise be good is a terrible thing. Ashiros, for a person who doesn't know how to use it, it's a terrible punishment because it's going to destroy him. It will bring him to fear. It will bring him to feel that he owns the world. And at the end, the notion will show up. If you don't want to recognize it yourself, the notion will show up. And ani has an easier time recognizing the notion. And usher, the natural tendency is to feel with every extra dollar that comes into my pocket, I'm more than this. To recognize, to bow the head in front of the revelation. And the natural result of that is that once you have this different attitude, then giving your money to the ani, like we said before, you're not doing anybody a favor. Ani doesn't owe you anything. Maybe between him and he has a few person, that doesn't do you. Yitzidcha, if you're not going to do this, first of all, you're going to lose your money. The only reason why you have the money is it's an... the only positive aspect of having money is that it's an opportunity to learn, to earn greater chelik and chelik and the melech, moment chosem. You want to keep the money? You want it to continue further generations? You know, trust fund, it doesn't work. The trust funds is a tech Hashem, that works. You have to give stuff. What does it have to do with Purim? It's just very short. In Purim, Klai Yisrael was taught this lesson to the utmost point. With all that said and done, we're Klai Yisrael. We're the only Klai Yisrael that there is, and we're the only Klai Yisrael that ever will be. So the Bishop needs us. Because he wants to bring the Tachlis out of the world and bring it out of us. So Avtocha to be always Zelv. It's going to make it from us. So who is the most Boiteach in the world of existence? Who can take the very essence of existence for granted more than anybody else in the world? Who's more sure? Anybody else in the world, Christ. That's true. But if we take advantage or misuse this Pitocha, and we feel that we can do as we please, the Baruch won't have to deal with us. So we can get to a matzav that we're brought ad lahashmi lahari yimech. One day, finish, and there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to run. You think that your existence, your very existence, you're so sure, you're so sure. Purim, the very essence of Klai Yisrael, was put under the test where Bishamayim, not only by Haman, and Achashverosh signed the decree, the Baal Yishlam signed the decree. He signed it in dirt, he didn't sign it in blood. I mean, he could be still changed. But it was a signed decree, there is still pretty serious. There was no jokes. It wasn't just here. Klai Yisrael, Sedeh Yisrael, it was a Xer Kloya, finished, come on. No more things. You want to recognize, you want to re-exist in the world, you want to have a place in the world. Kimu v'kibu. They stood up to the Nisayin. This Nisayin is one that Klai Yisrael walked. When it came down to the nitty-gritty, Kimberly came from recognition of Kleisel's role in the world. It's not a higher class system.
Yeah, sure.
The left is part of a Goy Kodesh. We're all upper class human beings, truly. That's a responsibility. It's not just an opportunity. It's an opportunity that carries first and foremost a responsibility that we have a higher form of life than we have. Purim is one aspect of Purim, of course, and many others, but this is the one that we're learning from this Mishnah. Purim is when the very essence of our existence, in physical form, down to the portion of Hashem of Aharon, Yom Echad was put on the scales, and it was signed Bishamayim the devil. The recognition of the Haidah of Klai Yisrael, the recognition of the responsibility to stand up to all of the nishayas of the world, to stand up to our Haman, to stand up to our Pesel, and stand up to our Sudas HaShreish, all the different aspects of the nishayas of what went into Purim, was to reestablish by Klai Yisrael the relationship, who's the boss, and who's the Eved Hashem. When a person attains this level of Yerushalayim, where he sees his very existence is dependent. So the Mishnah expresses it in terms of the Nani. In Purim, he expresses it in the whole form of Purim. A person who realizes his very existence is totally dependent on the Rishonim is a person Molisa. That's the same kind of this. You don't even need that. You can drink till she flips. I heard once a person describing he was a moment away from the Nazis. He was a moment away. So his wife was taken away from him, his children were taken away from him, his possessions were taken away from him. This is the last thing they took away from him when he was standing in front of the Kever Achim. They told him to get undressed. They took away his unique thing. Happened to be at the last minute, they thought they killed him, they didn't kill him. There was a moment, it was a moment before death. And they took the last thing that he had, his clothes, tatters, whatever they were, his human dignity, took away. Says what that gave him was the recognition that says everything that he thought that counts for me took away. And he says, what do I have? He says, there's one thing that I have there. I have the revenge. He says, that moment of closeness they had to the revenge, that he should have been in such a pachad also. From another minute, the bullets coming in. It happened to hundreds before him. He should have been totally. So that was his greatest moment of sinfulness. So on Purim, sometimes you can get. Because he can relate to it, because he has an understanding of what does it mean, total destruction. It's difficult for us. He doesn't understand what it means, total decree, done. And he personally has an experience, and we all are a result of that, of life after death. Purim is life after death. We die, it was over, it was finished, it was decreed, it was gone. It's all over. They're drinking. Achashverosh and Haman are drinking, that's it. It's gone. They've drunk on us. The decrees are out. It's finished. It's all over. We're here. Because that reestablishes your living relationship with that everything, even the Lord, most assumed thing, is in a direct relationship to the Lord. We live in the Bunyash. Hashem Oretz and Meloyah. The world is the Vayishlam. When there's bracha, when there's recognition, then it's taka our world. Because this is the world that we earn our Elam HaBo. That's the only aspect why this world is ours. But when it's mine, it's taka. So this is the understanding of the Mishnah, and this is the understanding of this aspect of Purim. Why Purim requires this type of special matanas and yin. Because when a person comes back to recognition, of the simcha
of the reconnection to the Vaishnava, coming back to proper perspective of the world, when he sees himself again, that old world was finished. How is he holy from that? Where's the Benahapiku? Benahapiku is Toich Kidei, the goal is Toich Kidei, all the Hestaponim. Toich Kidei, the Hestaponim includes and means all of the daily drudgery, whether it's business or the physical upkeep of the body, and her family, also all of these are the physical, it's all Hestaponim. It's all the things that keep us Lechayim. So, where's the Ruchim? But when a person puts a haidah on these things, a person recognizes that these things are all, it's not my problem. I'm dependent on a momentary and a daily basis on the Vaishnavam. Then when the squeeze is on, it's matun. Things are, so I get more stuck in it. More stuck. And the person, what are you doing? Somebody always around you is going to come and say, what are you doing now? It's for us a time to grow up. You can get more stuck in it. You're less stuck in that. You can get more stuck in that. You turn to him and say, idiot. You never had a field. You never planted anything. You never had a field. I put the weed, I'm planting it, and you tell me I'm an idiot. Who's the fool? So, this is one aspect that comes out from our Mishnah. It's on the right form. And that's the reason we emphasize it. That's just next week. After Purim, we'll go into the second half of the Mishnah, which is especially in our generation, one that needs a very delicate to understand properly. But b'chol oifen, if all the zeicha to the midah and the simchas of b'chol, the zeicha not only to the chitzonius of the kiyum mitzvahs of the simcha of the suda, but that we should be zeicha that through the kiyum of the mitzvahs, the or of the yoim, the or of Purim, the or of the Yudim Haisa Oira should be near the Elibeno, which is a good simple mitzvah.